Hello and welcome to another instalment of Freelancer Up North podcast. This podcast is run in collaboration with Zifferblatt and Freelance Folk. I'd like to introduce my co-host, Katie. Katie is a freelance Squarespace web designer and trainer. Plus, she also is the founder of Freelance Folk pop-up co-working sessions.
Thank you, Ben. And Ben, my lovely co-host, is the head of marketing at Zifferblatt, which is a pay-per-minute sitting room, co-working and event space in Manchester, Media City and Liverpool.
So, this podcast was first started to give the freelance community in the North a platform to share stories, knowledge, tips and tricks. Everyone knows it's easy to screw up when you're freelancing, so we'll be looking at the good, the bad and the ugly through a series of guests.
And speaking of guests, let's hear from our first guest, who is Mike Pye from Mike Pye Marketing, who set up a marketing consultancy business. And let's hear from him a bit more in his own words. Mike.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, so I'm Mike Pye. I've been freelancing for just over 2 years now. My business has really evolved over that time. I spent about 10 years working in marketing in agency side and client side. Up to sort of senior marketing manager level, but always wanted to work for myself really, and always had that itch to do that, and took the jump in December 2015. 2 years on, still going and surviving luckily.
Was there a particular trigger that made you decide to start?
There was a couple of triggers. I'd talked about it for 2 or 3 years, and in that time I'd got better and better jobs, and it always kind of been put to the back burner because things were progressing nicely, but I'd still always had that itch to do it. And then the real jump came when I took a job that was kind of promised to be too good to be true, and ended up being too good to be true. And I just hated every second of it. It was probably, you know, earning more than I'd ever earned before, which was fantastic, but was more miserable in work than I'd ever been before as well. So took the jump at the end of December. Through a lot of support from my wife at the time, who pushed me to do it.
And, who, interestingly, we met through Freelance Folk, didn't we, Mike?
Yeah.
And your wife was a freelancer, and she was coming along to the group, and then swapped, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. So my wife is a barrister, so she was self-employed as a barrister for 2 or 3 years, and was finding it hard being at home, working constantly. So, I introduced her to Freelance Folk because a friend of mine was going there, and then she introduced me to you, and that's kind of how it's all evolved.
So we'll kick off with our series of questions. So first off, Mike, what events are good in the North for freelancers?
That's a really big question, because I think when I first started, I was trying to get out everywhere. And try so many different types of networking events and things like that to both surround myself with other people which are doing the same thing, but also meet clients. And I spent a lot of that first year probably going to stuff that I shouldn't be going to, things that really didn't suit me or the business that I wanted to create, or the right kind of people there. So there's loads of kind of really traditional networking groups where it's like business over breakfast type things, or membership groups where people have to sort of bring along prospects and introduce people to each other, and those kind of events really didn't sit well with me at all.
Where there's that pressure to refer.
The pressure to refer, yeah, and the pressure to just go in and sell to each other. You sit around.
And what was that term you had for that, Ben? The 52 card pickup.
Yeah, where someone tries to shove a business card at you.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
It feels a little bit like a cult. And,
absolutely.
And no
yeah.
one needs to clap at 5 a.m.
That's it. Yeah. So I've been to quite a few where there is that, or someone takes a turn to say the thought of the day, and then everyone goes round and does their elevator pitch and hands business cards, and you know, I'd be sitting there next to a plumber and an accountant, and so different types of businesses. It's so unrelated to what I provided as a service as well, that I quickly learned which ones were the good things to go to and which ones weren't. I suppose I started really trying to refine the way that I was spending my time during that year, and definitely last year, to make sure that I was going to things that were actual real value to me. So I spent a lot of time going to other events for freelancers to meet and collaborate with other people and share experiences, but then also events where I was mingling with the right kind of prospective businesses for me, and also mingling with people who are probably quite further ahead than me, built and managing strong businesses. And that was what I saw was really, really valuable to me, to be able to just absorb information from people like that was really, really powerful.
And are there any specific ones that you found to be really useful?
Yeah, so Freelance Folk, I spent a lot of time going to that in the early days, and still like to sort of be involved in that community now, although I don't get as much time to these days, unfortunately. But I go to another event called Fresh Walks, which is completely different to your traditional networking event. It's either a day out walking in the Peak District with other business owners, or they do city walks as well, sort of on lunch breaks. But they're completely different in that you get to spend a lot more time with people and actually have meaningful conversations and get to know people as people rather than as potential clients or people that you're trying to sell to. Just really great for sort of creating that community. So there's that, and there's I try just to go to any events which are outside the traditional networking format, just because it really doesn't really sit well with me at all. So I'm actually going to one next week, which is pet working, first one of the year.
I want to go to a pet working event. I'm assuming that is networking with pets.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, one of the best things about
Mike has the cutest dog in the world.
Exactly, yeah. One of the best things for going freelance was that I meant I could get a dog, which I've always wanted to do. And now I get to combine that with business, so yeah.
That's great.
Awesome.
I need to get involved with that. Amazing. And so we've talked about kind of some events to attend.
Yeah.
As a freelancer, you're kind of on your own, so it can help to actually feel like you're part of something a bit bigger. Are there any useful networks that you found to join, maybe not quite the same as the events, but any different networks that you've been able to join that have helped?
Yeah, so I think I try and get out there and collaborate with other people that are self-employed as much as possible, because I've really found, especially in the early days, being at home, working from home all the time, is really isolating but also really restrictive in terms of creativity and meeting the right people and opening up opportunities as well. If you're sat at home, that just doesn't happen as much.
I think that'll really resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah,
who are listening.
If you're relying everything on the digital world and you're trying to build your business purely through digital, then there's certain restrictions from that. I think me, in terms of my personality, I really relish being out seeing human beings. So, yeah, any way that I can do that, the best. Is the way I try to spend my time, I suppose. That said, though, I still belong to a few Facebook groups, Manchester Startups, which is really good, Northern Collective, another Facebook group, which is really good, and they tend to be, Manchester Startups tends to be quite a tech-focused business group, but there's always some really good conversations going on in there, and people either offering advice or services or sharing information, which is great. And the same with Northern Collective, which tends to be much more of a freelance focus group, which has been great for me as well. I mean, I've managed to sort of meet people and collaborate with people through that group, and I've started to use various different people's services through that group as well.
Fab.
Bringing quite nicely on to Facebook and social media, in terms of who you think are some good people to follow on social media that you particularly like the content of or you find particularly interesting?
From a freelance perspective, I suppose I follow Federation of Small Businesses and IPSI.
IPSI is the Association for Independent Professionals and Self-Employed, so basically for freelancers.
Yeah, so I follow them. They always share really good content in terms of being freelance and stuff like that. Other business groups like the Institute of Directors and stuff like that, I really share some interesting stuff. But yeah, from a work perspective, I use social media all the time just to sort of get new ideas and follow businesses that I think are doing really good stuff that I can get information from and take inspiration from.
And so if you're on social media or doing all your other kind of marketing work and stuff, what are some good kind of apps or tools that you would recommend that you've really found has helped you as a freelancer?
Yeah, so I try and use as many different tools and apps as possible to make my life easier, and I think that's one of the biggest bits of advice that I'd give to people sort of just starting out being self-employed, is to spend money and spend time on anything that makes life easier and gives you more time back. I can make you be more productive. So I use all sorts of different tools. I use a tool called Asana for project management, which I basically run my life by. All my clients' tasks are everything are calendarized on a day-to-day basis, and I can assign projects to different people that I'm working with and manage everything centrally. So that's brilliant for project management. I use a tool called Insightly, which is a CRM system, which I use for managing my prospects and understanding where new business is coming from and keeping track of all that, as well as managing clients. I use QuickBooks for managing all my accountancy requirements. My first year, I did it all manually through a big master spreadsheet that I created, which was fine. Yeah, it was fine, but so time-consuming. And it just got to the point where I was just like, why am I spending all my time doing this, logging my receipts and managing expenses and stuff like that, when I could pay a little bit of money and have a tool that I can do that instantly? So QuickBooks and Receipt Bank, two tools which I use, which are brilliant. Receipt Bank is just an app for your phone, which you can take a picture of your receipt and it automatically logs it into QuickBooks. And
do you have an accountant that supports you as well?
Yeah, and an accountant, which I've had an accountant from day doc. I just thought it will take me a long time to do all my accounts, make sure I'm happy with it and comfortable with it, and not be scared when I have to submit a tax return. So it'll probably cost me less in the long run by paying an accountant to do it properly and do it for me than take my time out of the business to do it, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I try and spend money on any area that can help give me back more time.
So then you can focus on actually growing the business.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there are a few different tools that I found really, really helpful.
So that brings us nicely on to, we've all made mistakes. What are your favourite personal freelance fails?
There's probably been quite a few. And I think before I went freelance, I was always really worried about making mistakes. And obviously it's always still a worry, but you quite quickly learn that everyone does, and you can recover from them pretty quickly. And you know, it's all a learning curve, and it has been a massive learning curve the last couple of years. The biggest mistake that I made quite quickly, and which really, really helped me probably get to a place quicker than I would have got to if I hadn't made that mistake, is taking on the wrong clients. And you know, right at the start, I was desperate for work, and I was taking things on just to pay the bills, which everyone needs to do. But there was one client in particular that I took on where he really, really pushed me down on price, and expected the absolute world for that. And that was a really good learning curve for me, because it made me see that, one, I need to charge accordingly for the amount of time that I'm spending on a piece of work, and two, I need to find the clients that really value the work that I'm doing for them and understand that there is a value associated with it. So it was quite a stressful period at the time, but it was a really great learning curve for me. I mean, I walked away from that client, which was quite a scary thing to do, but made me see, right, this is, I need to really understand how to price things properly and make the most of the clients that I'm working with. And as a result, I put in place a real solid process of, one, pricing, but two, criteria of the type of clients that I work with. And I have to really invest in the businesses that I work with and get along with the people that that are my clients and like the businesses, because ultimately you do your best work for the people you enjoy working for. So I've turned away quite a lot of work over the last couple of years just from not having a click with the business in particular. So yeah, I think that's one of the best things that I would suggest, is work with people that you like, and you will naturally do really good work for them, and things will progress from there. If you do good work for them, they'll recommend you, and then you get onto the next project and onwards. So,
and I think that almost kind of leads back to what you were saying about the type of events that you go to are the ones where you can actually build up a real relationship and a rapport with people, and actually get to know them as humans, rather than, you know, just on paper, are they a good fit? Whereas actually in practice, they're not necessarily the right match for you.
Absolutely. I think that's on two points as well. So I talks about the kind of events that I don't like going to, and that's probably just because I don't feel that comfortable in that kind of situation, and therefore I'm not giving my best, and probably not getting the best out of them. And likewise, in terms of taking on clients, it all comes down to where you enjoy spending your time and the relationships that you make. Mm.
And so we're just talking about obviously kind of relationships and the struggles that you can have as a freelancer. So where are some good places to get support if you're freelance? So not necessarily just within the North, so this could be organisations, it could be people that you've found really helped in terms of support. What are some recommendations?
Yeah, so I think I spent a lot of time just trying to absorb information from people that are better than me. In the first couple of years, people who had been there, done it, built businesses, built solid freelance careers, and just spending time with those people and asking as many questions as possible. People are so generous with their time, and I really noticed that in my first year in particular. The amount of people that I met who were happy to invite me out for coffee and talk about an issue that I was facing and just give some advice was amazing. From all sorts of different angles, whether that be people who built established marketing businesses or accountants that wanted to give me a bit of advice on how to go in a specific area. But yeah, ask as many questions as possible. One of the best things I did as well was take on a mentor. So with the Business Growth Hub in Manchester, which is a fantastic organisation, they provide mentors to people who are starting businesses, and they paired me with somebody who runs a really established marketing agency, and that was absolutely invaluable, just getting to spend some time with someone who'd been there and done it and ask the stupid questions that you always need to ask without feeling foolish for doing so.
I think the Business Growth Club are really good. Like Ben, they've worked with Zifflat as well, haven't
they?
Yeah,
yeah. Interestingly, obviously, Mike, you actually teach on a Business Growth Hub course, which Zifferblatt actually hosts within our meeting rooms, but the Business Growth Hub, even from our point of view, have been absolutely invaluable. I mean, I think they're a great service here. They really helped us in the early days, and they are, you know, they will focus on the little guys, but all the way up to the big guys as well. And it's just got quite a nice approach to, as opposed to sort of these overinflated business terms, they actually want to give you practical advice on the things that you're doing, which is rare sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's interesting what you were saying about the mentoring thing. Actually, it's not something that would immediately come to mind when you think about first going freelance. But having a mentor as a freelancer, I remember when I used to freelance, was really important.
Yeah.
Because you've got, it's not like you're talking to clients all day. You don't really have that many peers, and you definitely don't have someone who's like slightly more senior than you looking at your own personal development. And having a mentor, I think, it was brilliant, because you have a sounding board who knows what they're doing.
Definitely. So I remember in the early days, I mean, I'd spent 10 years in marketing already, and I spent some time with my mentor, and she was like, well, why are you not doing this, that, and that? And I'm doing it all for my clients, but I'm not doing it for myself. Just stupid stuff like that. But yeah, it's just invaluable information just to sort of put you in the right direction. I think that really helped me get to a point much quicker than I ever would have done without that. But likewise, I think going back to having really strong relationships with clients, I mean, there's some clients that I've got now which I will have lots of conversations with about how I can do things better. That, you know, like I say, I've all built established businesses, and having that strong relationship has been brilliant. So I've just gone through a whole rebrand and a repositioning of my business, and a lot of that has been down to client feedback and having personal conversations with them about getting their views on what will work best for me, which has been fantastic. I've got a client who's an HR consultancy who's helped me out with loads of different things from a legal perspective and contractual wise and stuff like that. So yeah, having those strong relationships is the way to sort of really progress, I think. And like I say, just asking questions and asking for help.
That's great. And I think a lot of people wouldn't occur to a lot of people, especially if they're just starting out as a freelance, that you could get support from your clients.
Yeah.
Because you almost feel like at first, I think, I know I felt this, and Ben, you probably have as well, that you almost have to keep up a bit of a professional front to your clients, and you can't let them see any areas that you're struggling with, and you can't let them see vulnerabilities. But if you've got that relationship with them and you can be honest about the areas where you want to grow and improve, then actually they're the perfect people to help you.
That's it, yeah.
I think sometimes as well, when you're quite honest with people, people see you as a little bit sort of more three-dimensional than someone that just kind of comes to you as a face, and, and it's just, it doesn't exist, do you know what I mean? No one's actually like that, you know?
Yeah. And that's, it stops people from seeing you as a commodity as well, I think. Going back to what I mentioned earlier about spending too much time trying to sort of build and manage a business purely digitally, that is, I noticed in the early days is how you end up being seen as a bit of a commodity. I spent a lot of time right at the start using, or trying to market myself through tools like People Per Hour and Upwork, and they're all great for some people, but I just felt that you're getting people going on those sites looking for the lowest common denominator and trying to get something for free, and there's no personal interaction at all through those tools. And as a result, you're delivering a service, they're paying a price, and there's no way of meeting in the middle or having a conversation or looking at how you can do things better or having a real interactive relationship.
How do you feel about, I'm always interested, obviously, as we're co-working, you hear a lot of people, the first thing, you've gone freelance, are you on People Per Hour yet? But I think that can be a bit of a red herring, can't it? Because,
absolutely.
I mean, there's so many people on that.
Yeah.
You're right. It's
you're fighting against people from other countries who can do things for next to nothing as a starting point. So price is always going to be rock bottom. And I think it's going to be find it difficult to make a living out of just using tools like that. That said, I did get one of my biggest clients from using those tools, and but quickly managed to take them off using that tool as a way to communicate with each other and build an external relationship and with that person in a separate contract outside of People Per Hour. They've got pros and cons, and it's a way to sort of get going and get a bit of work and start building up a bit of a portfolio, but I don't think
you can almost use it as market research as well, can't you?
Yeah,
sort of test
definitely.
The water for different jobs and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. But I think you'd find it difficult to build a profitable business, whether that be profit, whether you see it in terms of money or time you spend on doing things. That said, one exception for that is there's a business in Manchester called Twine. Not sure if you've heard of it, but Twine is a marketplace like those other tools, but purely for creative sector. And I've used that recently for a bit of design work for myself. And it's a different proposition. You have much more interaction with the people that you're working with, and they are much higher quality, and as a result, you're paying a lot more for them, but paying a realistic market rate for people's time and services.
So it's almost they're on the side of the freelancer as much as the client.
Absolutely,
which you get the impression that sites like People Per Hour and Upwork, they're very much on the side of the customer and the
definitely.
Client.
And as a result, you get a much better quality supplier on those.
I think also, though, with a lot of these platforms, I mean, I don't know this for history, but People Per Hour are one of the largest in the world. I think when platforms get to a certain size in a lot of different industries or functions or whatever, when they get swamped with people, you can become a commodity. I mean, you know, you look at, and I mean, this is completely irrelevant, but I know people who don't go on Tinder anymore, and they only go on things like Bumble or apps that are more specific and more niche or have that kind of critical mass, which is more relevant to them. And I suppose, you know, Twine is the Bumble for freelancers or something.
It's quality over quantity, I think, definitely, and they offer much more of a personal service as well. So if businesses are using it, you actually get a like an account manager through Twine that actually deals with your project and finds the best freelancers for you to deliver that project and manage the whole process, which was good. But yeah, like I said, in terms of commodity on sites like People Per Hour, if you're a client and you're advertising a digital marketing project and you have 500 digital marketers come back with a quote, it's impossible to know which one's the best, and you end up looking at purely on price, I think, and therefore it doesn't really work for anyone, I don't think.
Yeah, I think if you can use it strategically and be really targeted, it can work, and I did use it at the beginning when I was doing website stuff, but really strategically, and I applied for, you know, a fraction of the number of available jobs because it was ones where I thought that actually I could differentiate myself by the fact that I was based in the UK, or, you know, that I did understand a particular market. But yeah, I think it's quite hard.
So leading on from that, who are some of your favourite freelancers? So that can be people you've worked with, people who you particularly admire, or anything like that. Just individuals who have made an impression on you during your 2 years.
Wow, that's a massive question, because there's been literally so many. Manchester is a real hotbed of freelance talent. There's so many people doing some really great stuff. And through being in the right sort of community, I've met so many really good people, especially through Freelance Folk in the early days, where I met loads of great people. The way that my business has evolved is that I started out being a freelance consultant, just personally going in and undertaking projects for businesses, and in the last 2 years that's evolved to the extent where I really rely on collaborating with other freelancers. So I tend to go in from a strategic point of view in businesses, and then put in place marketing strategy and execute that strategy with the help of other specialist freelancers. So that might be designers, copywriters, events people, the whole mix really. It's like I say, there's so much talent out there. It's it makes sense to utilise it for businesses, and it's a real opportunity for businesses to have something different other than going to a traditional marketing agency for a full service solution. So that said, I've built up a real great community of other freelancers. Picking out a few names, I've done an awful lot of work over the last two years with Helen Dibble, who's a copywriter, runs another successful freelance copywriting business. She's been great. We've got a really strong relationship, and do a lot of training together and do a lot of work together, and she's a few years down the line from me, so she was great in terms of helping me in the early days as well. I can also really recommend an events professional called Heather Gray, who runs Heather Gray Events. She's a real big personality in the sort of Manchester networking scene. She's just gone freelance herself and is building up a really strong business. And I've a couple of designers that I use as well. John Drew just did all my whole new rebrand, who's fantastic. And Lee Ash, who's a creative director, is also a great guy. So there's so many great freelancers in the Manchester community at the moment doing some really great stuff. So I think it's brilliant for business to be able to access that talent.
Fantastic. And now we're going to go on to the final and most important question. So freelance food. What is your favourite new cafe or restaurant in the north?
So that's probably where I spend most of my money. Unfortunately, my accountant will be killing me at the end of the month when it comes to doing my tax return and seeing how much money I'm spending on cafes. But I tend to float about all over the place because I don't necessarily need to have an office. So I'll either work from client spaces or various different places in Manchester. So Ziffblatt for one.
Thank you.
Ezra and Gill in the Northern Quarter, Cottonopolis, because I love Asian food, and it's a nice little place to, it's not that busy during the day, so it's quite nice to sort of get your head down. Leaf on Portland Street, another nice place to go. There's too many in Manchester.
Okay, so that concludes our episode. Thank you very much for joining us, Mike. Some of that was really interesting, and there's some good recommendations in there. So if you'd like to follow the podcast, we're using the hashtag freelance up north. You can follow Zifferblatt on @ZifferblattEdgeST on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And you can follow Katie at Freelance Folk on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And Mike, you'll find Mike at Mike Pie. That's with a Y as opposed to the pastry. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Pleasure.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.